Last week, we were reminded that our purpose in life is to glorify God, that we are living testimony, representing God and giving God honor, or dishonoring God by the things that we say and do. We were exhorted that even in the smallest and simplest things, to do it all for the glory of God. So today, we're reminded that praise is the primary act of worship in which we glorify God. In my September newsletter article, I talked about ways that we might facilitate the giving of our praise when we give verbal or written testimony to the things that God has done in our lives. We are giving praise. When we sing songs that exalt the person, work, and character of God, we are giving praise. It seems pretty obvious, duh, praise ought to be the primary thing that we do in worship. It's important. But how many answered prayers do we forget to thank God for? Praise can get overlooked. I've led several concerts of prayer over the years, and these are events where the focus of those events is to pray. And in those events, there are ample opportunities to ask God for things, for other people, through a time of intercession, for events in the world, and for even for ourselves in a time of supplication. But I always begin with a time of thanksgiving and praise, because that's how we should start. Praise helps us, our minds, to focus off of ourselves and to get them on God, who is our audience. Praise helps us to get rid of our worries and our cares and focus on God and who God is. And as we remember who God is and what God has done, then it changes how we think. We ought to begin with praise, which is pure worship. However, it never fails that in these times of praise that are only supposed to be about praise, that more than one person starts with praise and then slips in a prayer request. It changes that quick to asking God for something, even though we've got two whole other sections later to ask God for whatever we need to ask Him for. It's hard to simply praise the Lord. And so that's why we have all of these exhortations over and over again, as this psalm does. Praise the Lord. Praise Him, all you people. Praise Him, Israel. Praise Him, Aaron. Praise Him, Levi. Praise the Lord with singing. Praise the Lord. Because we forget. It's simple, but we forget. And so we begin with and end with exhortations to praise the Lord. The psalm is written in a chiastic structure like an X. Paralleling, so the beginning and the end parallel, and the middle two sections parallel, and the middle sections parallel each other. And oftentimes when things are written in this structure, the middle is the most important part, but in this case, it's the beginning and the end, the praise the Lord, that's the most important part. In these verses, we see that all God's people are called to praise the Lord. But we also see that those who are called by God to lead God's people have a special responsibility to lead the rest of the worshipers in praise. The psalm mentions the house of Aaron, that would be the priests, and the house of Levi, that's the Levites, and the Levites were in charge of the maintenance of tabernacle and temple worship, making sure all the things were clean and in the right places, and that the daily acts were being done, that the floors got swept and the oils got in the lamp and all that kind of stuff. That's what the Levites did. And the priests were the one who actually carried out some of the acts of worship for the people, when they would actually bring their sacrifices and different things and then lead the prayers and all that other stuff. So this is why the fact that leaders are responsible for helping the people of God praise and worship, it's why the issue of creating outlets of praise and testimony for the people of this church came up at our August session meeting. Because your elders have the spiritual responsibility of leading you in praise and worship. I work also with a wonderful worship committee that does a lot of what the Levites would do, looking after things small and large, and the elements that we need for worship. Bringing these things to the session's attention for their authorization or approval or advice. When just little stuff, they just do it. That's why we didn't have a 2 cents a meal. We didn't have one last month. Leon, because you weren't here, so I forgot to put the baskets out. So we'll have to get a good one next week. They're just really great at those kinds of things. So the leadership of the church is not only to provide opportunities for praise, but to lead in praise by sharing their own praise. I've been in churches where nominating committees have said, let's ask so-and-so to be an elder because maybe he or she will start coming to worship more often and participate more. And once in a while, that works out pretty well because that invitation to serve is a wake-up call on an individual's life. They're convicted by the Holy Spirit that they haven't been using their gifts and callings as they have, and they do respond in service. But most of the time, that type of person does not make a good elder, because if someone is not already demonstrating a love for the Lord within the body, giving the person a responsibility for the spiritual life of a congregation does not turn out well. So the end verses tell us who it is to praise the Lord. Everyone is called to praise the Lord. Everyone who fears the Lord, who is a servant of the Lord. And the leaders have the responsibility of helping to make that happen. So the middle section then tells us why we should praise the Lord. In verses 5 through 7, we see the superiority of God over idols. And in the parallel verses of verses 15 through 18, we see that idols are completely useless. Idols are created, therefore they can create nothing. The Lord created everything. And as I talked with Jordan this morning, God has no boss, but rather is the boss of everyone and everything because God made it and it belongs to God. We make idols because we think we can control them. But it is God who controls us. We can't boss God around, although that doesn't stop us from trying. Idols, it says, they have ears, they have eyes, and they have mouths, but they can't hear, they can't see, and they can't speak. God doesn't have literal eyes, a literal ears, and a literal mouth. God is spirit, and yet God sees, God hears, and God speaks, and when God speaks, things happen, because for God to speak is for God to act. Verse 18 says that those who make and trust in idols are like them, clueless, powerless, nothing. And yet, we are made in God's image, so that the more we trust in Jesus, the more we follow Jesus, the more like Jesus we become. We make idols in our image, thinking that we can control them. God makes us in God's image so that we can become more like Him. The innermost sections of this psalm exhort us to praise the Lord for God's involvement in the past in verses 12 through 10. And then in verses 13 and 14, it tells of God's future and ongoing involvement in the lives of God's people. And we can praise the Lord for that as well. Now, most of us are probably familiar with the story of Moses and the 10 plagues of Egypt and the wonders that God did in order to make Pharaoh free the Israelites. But I figured less of us were familiar with the story of the kings of Og and Sihon, so I had us read that from Numbers 21 this morning. How many of you remembered that story? Yeah, I didn't think so. So the Israelites were finally getting ready to enter Canaan. But they were on the east side of the Jordan River, so this is now what's in the country of Jordan today. And they were to head north to the Sea of Galilee and then go north of there and then cross over, which is now southern Syria, and then come down into Canaan, which is now where a lot of Israel is today. That's what's their route. And as they were going up, they were heading up, they said, we just want to pass through. We're not here to do anything. We're not here to take your stuff. We just want to use this road. It's a good road. It's a quick road. It'll get us to where we need to go. And King Sihon said, no, I don't want you coming through my land. And he decided to make war with the Israelites. But the Israelites defeated Sihon and then said, okay, now that we're defeated you, we are going to take your land. And so they did, and they took several of those cities. So then the Lord had already told Moses when he got to Bashan to take that land, because that's an area that's known for, it's good fertile land, it's good for raising cattle, they've got good crops there, and it's that's that southern piece of what is now modern Syria. And in just those short verses we read, you could hear that the Lord was 100% in control of that victory. They were kind of worried about going up there and taking that, but God said, don't worry. Yes, they've got armies. Yes, they're prepared for you, but I have given them to you. I have given Og into your hands. Go up there. Don't be afraid. The battle was already won. And this story that's told for this first time, recorded for us in Numbers 21, is repeated in Scripture. It's retold at the beginning of Deuteronomy. So if you want to read the retelling of it, read Deuteronomy chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then in the book of Joshua, Joshua tells this story again. And then in the Psalms, we hear the story again. Because sacred history is meant to be repeated throughout Scripture as a way to bring praise to God, bringing into remembrance the acts that God has done, how God has been with us in the past. And it's important that we remember so we don't forget, so that we know when stuff comes up, God is going to be with us, God has already brought victory to us, and we can trust in that. And so for us, it is important for us to retell our sacred history, to remember what God has done in our church and in our lives, and to tell those stories again and again so we can pass them along, and so we don't forget, and so we can praise God. So next week is homecoming, and this church will be celebrating 92 years of ministry. That's a lot of sacred history. Stories need to be told and retold of what God has done in and through this body, this place, Southwest Jacksonville, and the individuals who make it up or have made it up in the past. We need to remember Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so who have gone on to glory and how they impacted our lives or our parents' lives or our families and how God used them. We need to remember the times when we didn't think we were going to make it and God provided in miraculous ways. We need to tell those stories. It brings praise to God. It helps us to grow in community, and it keeps us together, and it keeps us focused on what's really important. At the end of this month marks 500 years of Reformed sacred history, the anniversary of the Reformation. And these stories are also sacred stories that need to be remembered and retold. In some of the darkest times in history, those Middle Ages, where everything seemed to be messed up in the church, God was still at work in mighty ways through individuals and groups of individuals. In the midst of great corruption and confusion, there were always people who were true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. These stories give us hope for our time when things look dark and bad and the world is messed up. But we know that God has God's people, that there's always a remnant. Even Elijah said, I'm the only one left. And God told him, no, you're not. I've got 400 prophets over here who have not bowed their knee to Baal. There are people out there. I'm doing stuff. Look around and you can see what I'm doing. And we need to tell these stories to give us hope for our time, to give us a reason to glorify and worship God who is faithful and active. And then we can praise God for what we know God is going to do, for God's continued faithfulness in our lives. There will never be a time when God's name is not lifted up in praise and worship. God will always have people who are faithful. But we praise God for having compassion on us for the times when we're not faithful, because that's God's character. God is loving and gracious and merciful, and we praise God for being those things. The Lord is also the judge, it says in the psalm. God is going to bring justice because God is our boss. It might seem weird to praise the Lord for being the judge, but is there anyone else you would want to trust with such an incredible responsibility? Only the one who is completely righteous is qualified for such a task. So we praise God for being righteous and holy and fair. We give thanks that we have a God who is truth and therefore can discern the truth. The author of the Women's Bible Study book shared that we ought to be able to testify to what God is doing in our lives right now, not just years and years ago. We want to tell that sacred history, or last year or last month, but we need to see and praise God for what God's doing now, because God is always at work in us and around us. So what attribute of God is meaningful to you right now? What has God done in your life this week or even today? Where have you seen God at work? And if you're still overwhelmed by those questions, just think of something that good that you experienced this past week. Just some good thing. And then, knowing that all goodness comes from God, if you're going to share that good thing, do so by making God the subject, because God is the author of all that's good and right. So if something good happens, say, God did this, and I experienced this good thing. That's what the sacred history Bible storytellers did. They made God the subject. They brought the attention back on God. They showed how things operate from God's point of view, because God is the agent who makes things happen. And I hope today that you will share a story of some good thing, some place that you saw God active in your life or in someone else's life or in the world through something you read or saw. Before you leave here today, use your time on the lawn to share some good thing that God has done. And I'll be sharing a little bit more with you things that God has done in my life this week. Later. Let us pray. O Lord, you are mighty and worthy of praise. It's simple to say hallelujah. It's a simple thing to think of, praise the Lord. It's so obvious to us, and yet too often we forget to be thankful for the things that you've done in our lives. We become unaware that you are always at work around us and in us and through us. We take credit for things that only you can do. Or we take for granted the simple blessings that we enjoy every day. Help us to be mindful, to remember, and to pass along the good things that you've done for us, who you are, to pass on our sacred stories and to recognize the things that you're doing in us now. May we glorify you by giving you praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes from the Westminster Confession. It's talking about church discipline. I have to tell you one of the things that happened at our